It's over a month since the US-backed Gaza ceasefire began, and despite increased aid making its way into the enclave, doctors on the ground say the horror and suffering hasn't stopped. Hospitals remain overwhelmed, medical supplies are scarce, and children continue to be killed and injured. One such doctor is consultant vascular and trauma surgeon Morgan McMonagall from the University Hospital Waterford. As we speak, he's just left Gaza after 3 weeks at the Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis, his third stint there in 2 years. Earlier, he spoke to me from the hospital and told me Gaza is as bad as ever, and he never thought he'd be amputating the limbs of children. And a warning to listeners here, some of what you're about to hear is extremely distressing.
I never in my career thought I would be amputating the leg of a child. And I've done many, many amputations of children all in Gaza. It's never nice amputating a limb of a child. I did one yesterday, a 14-year-old boy who received a gunshot to his leg, who repaired the vessels, didn't work, his leg died, took off his leg yesterday. I saw him this morning, he's doing very well. I gave him some Cadbury's chocolate. He seemed happy with that. He's just lost his leg, and he was a keen soccer player. He told me through the interpreter he wanted to play for Man United. You know, it's unlikely he'll play soccer again, because it's what we call an above knee amputation. So he's lost his knee. But again, this is a recurring theme. And on top of that, the actual disease and the infectious diseases in the hospital is absolutely enormous. You walk on the ward and it's like something from the 18th century from a plague hospital, because there are patients everywhere and families lying on the floor, lying in the stairwells. You can smell, there's a particular infection that comes with wet, gangrenous wounds called Pseudomonas. Some of your listeners who are healthcare workers will know the smell. The wards constantly have that hanging thick in the air. There's infection everywhere. And on top of that, they just come out of a period of starvation. So their body's immune systems are not good at fighting infections or fighting wounds. So wounds break down. And this is a problem over and over and over again.
Do you have enough medical supplies, painkillers, anaesthetic now for the children?
No.
The patients?
No. We're getting by. We're making do. But Israel have banned medical supplies coming in.
How do you do an amputation if you don't have enough supplies? How do you deal with the mass casualty scenario like you did on the day you returned to Gaza?
You compromise. You find whatever's available and you compromise. It's not ideal, and patients are left in pain.
This isn't your first time in Khan Yunis. When you compare it to the last time, physically, how does it look? I think you left in March.
Yeah. Physically, the hospital feels busier. But the actual physical size of the hospital and number of beds are finite. So instead, patients are on the floor, they're doubling up on beds. The emergency department is absolutely overrun with patients because of that, because of the population. And on top of that, you haven't got enough supplies. Food is trickling in. There's enough carbohydrate, what I can see, in the form of rice getting in. But that's about it. That's about it. And now that we're heading into the winter, things are going to get colder. Everyone's living in tents outside the hospital now.
Well, supplies as an issue then. It was part of the ceasefire agreement that more aid would get into Gaza. Is that having an impact on the ground?
Well, medical supplies aren't getting in.
In terms of food and the general population.
So when we drove in, I definitely saw more trucks than last time, but not enough.
But have people enough to eat?
I've seen a lot of children come in who with the hallmarks of a period of malnutrition. So they've lost a lot of weight. They're very, very thin. The staff, who I remember last time, have lost weight. So I would say there's a trickle of feed getting in, but not enough. And it's mostly in the form of carbohydrate. So it's rice, it's potatoes. It's not protein.
At the start of the ceasefire, I was talking to UN Under Secretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief, Tom Fletcher. He told us on Morning Ireland that Gaza has broken buildings, it has broken lives. He said Gaza has been pulverised by bombs. How do you describe what you've seen there?
My best description is that it's like something from a Mad Max movie. There's very little law and order. The buildings, those that are even standing, are still badly destroyed, and you can see people have moved into them and put up some tarpaulin or put up some blankets to try and protect them from the elements. But most people are living in tents, and therefore there's makeshift sewage which is going into various holes. People are living beside dumps that's full of rubbish and putrefying flesh. There's dogs and cats everywhere. When we arrived here, we were told, and we've been told several times, that with each mass casualty, to concentrate on the living children and the living women of fertile age, because people know there's a genocide going on. People know that that certain nationalities want to raise the Palestinians as a race. It is like something from a Mad Max movie, where a post-apocalyptic disaster has occurred. The difference being, of course, this is completely man-made.
You say it's like a Mad Max movie. There's very little law and order. How active is Hamas? What's happening on the ground?
We wouldn't really know. We're not privy to what might be going on, except that we've been told that going outside now is a little more dangerous than it was last time, from the point of view that there's very little official law and order. Law and order has broken down, and it's a conflict zone. So people are naturally struggling to survive.
The people you treat, their families, the staff you work with, do you ever talk about the ceasefire? Do they see it as being
Yeah,
fragile?
most of the locals just say what you'd expect. We hope this will hold. We pray it'll hold, but they don't believe it's a ceasefire. They call it a pause. It is and it isn't, because there's still bombs going off, there's still shootings, there's still quadcopters and drones in the air, there's still F-35s flying over.
Will you go back again?
I'd like to go back in a spirit of rebuilding Gaza properly. In a proper peacetime where supplies are getting in.
Dr. Morgan McMonagall speaking to us there from Gaza. It's now 8:32, and Susan has the headlines.